Why do conspiracy theories spread faster than truth? Why does political polarization feel impossible to bridge? The answer isn't algorithms or education. It's something far more fundamental. We are storytelling animals, spending over 5 hours daily immersed in narratives, yet we're blind to how profoundly these stories shape our reality. When students calculate their actual time-consuming narratives, from Netflix to Instagram to video games, they're shocked to discover they spend more waking hours in Storyland than anywhere else. Stories aren't just entertainment, they're the invisible architecture of human consciousness, simultaneously our greatest evolutionary advantage and our most dangerous vulnerability. We devote more resources to fiction makers than to the farmers and doctors who keep us alive, revealing our deep reverence for narrative. But here's the paradox. The same mechanism that binds communities together also tears them apart, creating tribal divisions that threaten our survival in an interconnected world. When you read about a character fleeing through dark woods, your body responds as if you're in danger. Your heart races, breathing quickens, and stress hormones flood your system. Brain scans reveal your neural activity mirrors someone experiencing actual threat. You're not just observing, your brain activates as though you are running for your life. This physiological response stems from our Stone Age brains processing convincing media as reality, what researchers call the media equation. Though we intellectually know fictional characters aren't real, we react emotionally as if they were, forming parasocial relationships that shape real-world attitudes. When straight viewers watch likable gay characters on shows like Will and Grace, they develop empathy extending beyond the screen. This parasocial contact reduces prejudice more effectively than diversity training, helping explain the 40-point increase in support for same-sex marriage since 1996. Stories don't just entertain, they physically rewire our emotional responses and social attitudes without conscious awareness. While Americans panicked over fabricated subliminal advertising claims in 1957, a genuine method of bypassing conscious defenses hid in plain sight: storytelling. Today, corporations hire chief storytelling officers and teach MBA students narrative techniques, explicitly celebrating stories as Trojan horses smuggling messages past mental defenses. This works because stories trigger powerful emotions. The Latin root emovere means to move, that literally move us to action far more effectively than rational argument. We choose stories for the emotions they'll generate: comedies for laughter, horror for fear, tearjerkers for sadness. But persuasion requires quality. Tommy Wiseau's notoriously awful film The Room spent millions creating misogynistic propaganda, yet its spectacular incompetence transformed it into cult comedy. A story's persuasive power depends on narrative transportation, the spell pulling audiences into the story world. Research confirms stories with implicit messages persuade more effectively than obvious agendas. By forcing us to discover meaning ourselves, skilled storytellers make us feel we've independently reached their conclusions, the tactic Joan Didion called a secret bully. What makes stories spread? Tolstoy defined art as emotional infection. Strong stories generate emotions that dissolve skepticism. Research confirms emotion drives virality, particularly activating emotions like rage and anxiety that physically arouse us, versus deactivating emotions like contentedness that incline toward inaction. Christianity's explosive spread from 20 believers to the Roman Empire's official religion in 330 years demonstrates narrative's viral power through inherent missionary coding, fantastical intolerance of rival gods, and terrifying hell stories featuring vivid eternal torments. Today, nearly half of Americans believe paranoid narratives. While psychologists study conspiracy beliefs' building blocks, they miss the simplest explanation. Conspiracy stories are thrilling fictional narratives spreading faster than truth because they're perfectly crafted to captivate imaginations, while debunkers face the killjoy task of proving there is no story. The Flat Earth movement illustrates this perfectly. YouTube recommended flat Earth videos hundreds of millions of times, creating converts who experience their awakening like taking the red pill in the Matrix. Inside this narrative, they're not social outcasts, but unrecognized geniuses exposing history's greatest fraud, making extraction from this ego-gratifying story nearly impossible. Data scientist David Robinson analyzed 112,000 fiction plots and found a universal pattern. Things get worse and worse until, at the last minute, they get better. Even blockbusters rush through triumphant endings, suggesting we need prolonged struggle to feel satisfaction. This narrative mirror distorts reality by amplifying conflict while minimizing harmony. Despite research showing human life improving by nearly every metric, our hell in a handbasket intuition persists because storytelling filters out good news. Two little girls playing princesses reveals storytelling's universal grammar, not just survival tales, but moral structures, pitting good against evil. The tigers aren't merely hungry, but mean villains, while princesses represent love and sacrifice. While real life is heavily determined by luck, satisfying stories carefully control its role. Harry Potter wouldn't defeat Voldemort by slipping on a banana peel. A large-scale study of Victorian novels revealed a sharply polarized fictional universe where protagonists sought cooperation while antagonists pursued selfish domination, reflecting ancient hunter-gatherer morality where balancing individual desires with group needs was essential for survival. After Hutus slaughtered 800,000 Tutsis in the 1994 Rwandan genocide, a soap opera called New Dawn helped listeners see the other as like themselves, increasing inter-ethnic trust. Research shows stories reduce prejudice, from children reading Harry Potter to novels catalyzing human rights movements. Yet despite our story-saturated age, harmony hasn't increased proportionally. The Rwandan genocide itself was fueled by propaganda depicting Tutsis as verminous invaders. Stories generate empathy selectively, often reinforcing rather than blurring us-them boundaries. Suicide bombers act from intense empathy for their in-group, driven by historical narratives and conspiracy theories. By dividing characters into heroes and villains, stories create moral blindness toward antagonists, generating what Fritz Breithaupt calls empathetic sadism, our emotional enjoyment when good guys punish bad guys. Though storytelling evolved to bind small tribal communities, it can't adapt to modern multicultural nations. Our narrative psychology still carves people into tribes and sets them against each other. We're less Homo sapiens, wise person, than rationalizing animals crafting narratives to justify beliefs. Rationality evolved as a social tool, attacking opposing views while defending our own. This explains why we spot flaws in others' arguments yet miss our own. We defend narratives with half-blind vigor because losing them threatens our reality. Rather than building beliefs through analysis, we inherit stories that colonize our minds early, filtering what we accept as fact. The 2021 Capitol riot illustrated this. Identical footage generated radically different interpretations based on pre-existing narratives. Modern behavioral genetics suggests political orientations are 30 to 50% genetically determined, challenging the idea that worldviews stem purely from rational thought. We're entering an age of deepfakes where any evidence can be fabricated, threatening democracy as misinformation outperforms truth online. We must recognize ourselves as Homo fictus as much as Homo sapiens, developing suspicion about moralistic simplifications, especially our own. Like checking our breath, we must sniff our stories for exaggerations, exercising executive control over automatic narrative processes. Hate the story, not the storyteller. By understanding stories' power, we can harness them to unite rather than divide.